This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Hi and welcome to the Alcoholics Anonymous radio show here on Plains FM 96.9. My name is Kerry and I'm an alcoholic. The purpose of this show is to increase public awareness of Alcoholics Anonymous as an effective means of recovery from the disease of alcoholism. Our show has two parts. First, we'll talk a bit about alcoholism, what it is, and what AA can do to help. And then we'll interview a recovering alcoholic who is an active member of AA. I'm now going to ask our guest to read the AA preamble, which is read at the start of every AA meeting.
Hi, I'm Mark. I'm an alcoholic. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety.
So what is alcoholism? Alcoholism is a disease, not a disgrace. There's no shame in having an illness or a disease. An unusual feature of this disease is that it will do whatever it can to convince you that you do not have it. However, once it has a hold of you, the progressions of symptoms is like the classic disease model and the victim is as helpless as a sufferer of cancer. If you are an alcoholic, you are at the beginning of a long road that usually ends in one of three places: prisons, institutions, or death. If you think this sounds dramatic, we can assure you that our collective experience has shown this to be true. The challenge is to convince the alcoholic to admit that they need help and become willing to seek it. Denial is a major symptom of alcoholism. The alcoholic is often the last one to recognize it and admit that they have it. Our definition of alcoholism is that it is an allergy of the body coupled with an obsession of the mind. The allergy is the physical aspect of the disease. After having the first drink, the phenomenon of craving develops and we lose control over when we will stop drinking. The old saying is one is too many and a thousand is never enough. And yet, because of the obsession of the mind, the mental aspect of the disease, the alcoholic is compelled to keep picking up that first drink. This makes us powerless. We often hear from sober alcoholics that many doubted whether life could be fun without alcohol. Fortunately, these same people report that their lives have improved dramatically since they became sober. The 12-step program of recovery, which is discussed at meetings and which is outlined in the Alcoholics Anonymous Big Book, is how we get sober and maintain our sobriety one day at a time. This program has a proven track record of helping otherwise hopeless alcoholics to achieve long-term sobriety and recovery. It has taught us how to enjoy life sober. Okay, for anyone who has just joined us, you're listening to the Alcoholics Anonymous radio show here on Plains FM 96.9. We're just about to interview an AA member who is going to share their experience with alcoholism. So let's meet our guest. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Mark. I'm an alcoholic.
Welcome, Mark. And I'm just going to ask a little bit of background information. How old are you? Can I ask you that?
I'm 45.
That's a good age. And how long have you been sober?
7 years.
Wow, great. And what's your occupation?
I'm in the service industry.
Awesome. Any family? Are you married? Do you have children?
I'm married and have a couple of stepchildren.
Oh, wow. Nice. So where do you come from? Where did you grow up?
Well, I grew up in Christchurch, so I'm basically a Cantabrian.
Yes. And how was your childhood?
My childhood was quite normal. Grew up in Christchurch, went on holidays, camping, just experienced a good life, really. It was very good.
Excellent. So when did you start drinking?
My first experience that I can remember is about 13, on the old homebrew dregs that would be left in the bottles.
Yes, and how did it progress?
Well, I think the progression was over a period of years. I wasn't one of those alcoholics that picked up alcohol at 13 and just couldn't put it down. But it was the experience that I had of being drunk and enjoying the feeling. And I think by the time I was old enough to buy my own alcohol, it just really was progressed from there. And I mean, when my brother was killed in a car accident when I was in my late teens, that was a catalyst for me for picking up alcohol and marijuana. That's really, I hit a rock bottom there, and to pull myself out of it, it was alcohol and drugs. And I'm sorry to say that I didn't really pull myself out of a hole, I just made it bigger and deeper.
Self-medication.
Self-medication.
Medicating the pain.
Yeah, yeah.
Understandable.
That's right.
So what did alcohol do for you apart from helping you relieve the pain?
Well, it helped me with my social life. Mm-hmm. I was able to be quite social when I was drunk, although that was what I perceived was going on. I'm quite sure that the bouncers at the pubs didn't think that when I knock it over all the sound system and end up getting turfed out several times. So these experiences should tell you something, that there's a problem going on, and you really don't pay any attention to that. You just enjoy the fact that you were drinking and that you survived to wake up in the morning and you couldn't really remember what's gone on, but it just goes on.
So how did you drink? Were you a social drinker or a binge drinker, or did you become a daily drinker?
I was an everything drinker.
Yep.
I would drink socially, I would drink daily, and I would binge drink. And particularly towards the end of my drinking career, and I mean, I was in my late 30s, and I thought I'd had a handle on it, and I'd drink, and I'd be okay to get to a point, and I would still be able to walk around and arrive home and do the normal things. But you would get drunker and drunker, and then once a month, once a fortnight, once a week, you would end up being in a complete alcoholic stupor where you just wouldn't remember anything and you were causing an absolute ruckus around you.
And how were your family relationships affected by that, or your friendships?
I would suggest all my relationships were affected very badly. Mm. And really the ultimatum was there, that I was in the position where either I'm out on my own and it was my life as a drinker and everything would go downhill. So that's my whole life would have gone downhill. And I recognised that. And I recognised it because my father was an alcoholic.
Okay.
And he has been sober for many, many years now.
Wow.
And actually Dad, he went through the AA program, and I knew that I had a problem. And I knew I had to change my life. And I'm absolutely sure I wouldn't be here now if I hadn't have. And over the period of time that it took me to get into the AA, it really takes a rock bottom. And rock bottoms go from rock bottoms to rock bottoms. And so whether it was my first rock bottom or my 10th rock bottom, I don't know, but it was definitely one. And it just wakes you up and you really think, actually, do I really want to be living this life?
Yep.
Or do I want to be finding a new life? And unfortunately, it means that you do lose friends.
Yep.
But the positive side is you gain new friends and that you gain a new life.
So you mean when you get sober, you gain a new friends and you gain a new life?
Absolutely.
Did you ever have any legal consequences to drinking, like drink driving or fighting or anything like that?
Legal consequences, I don't think so. I mean, I was always a very clever alcoholic, and I was always clever enough to get dropped off home. Not to say that I wouldn't have been completely innocent, but I was definitely clever enough to get dropped off home. But then the next day I'd be asked to clean the car out because there'd been a problem that I didn't have any memory of. And so there's problems that were caused, but I never did anything legally that I was in trouble for, which was very lucky in that scenario.
Did you lose jobs or anything from drinking?
I suggest that I was very close on a few occasions in my life, but never actually lost the job, always been able to talk my way through. But it's certainly something that my career suffered, and there was a glass ceiling, and since I've given up, the glass ceiling's disappeared, and year on year, I've grown in the service industry that I'm in, and I just would never look back, and I can't believe how far I've come.
Awesome. So, what made you realise that you needed help? What was the rock bottom that happened before you came to AA?
That happened. Well, I'm a keen fisherman, and I spent months and months fishing and getting on the booze, and things just got worse and worse. And those binges that we talk about, that we think we're getting to a point where we're okay, but then we cross that line time and time again. It was a binge, and it was a binge that really hit rock bottom. I just went to town with it. And I don't know if it was a cry for help or what it was, but it took me 3 days to get over it. I was shaking. When I walked into AA for the first time, I was physically shaking, and that took 3 days to get me in the door.
Wow.
And I was late, and so I walk into a room where I'm walking in late, and it was... I thought it was embarrassing, but I was welcomed with a warm welcome from the people there, and I'll never forget it.
So you had a good experience.
It was a great experience.
Did you keep going back after that?
I went back it was more than once a week at the beginning. Every meeting I could get to, I went to, and, it was just keep coming back, and, hearing the stories, you don't even need to share, just hearing the stories in the rooms makes a huge difference to
so
how you feel.
So you could relate.
You can relate to people.
So how have you managed to stay sober? What's the process of recovery been like for you?
My process of recovery, I did what I was told. I kept going to the meetings.
That's good.
I found a very good sponsor.
Excellent.
Who agreed to be my sponsor. And we worked on the steps together, and we have a 12-step program, and it really works. There's no rush to get through the steps, but I think there is a rush to start doing the steps, because the longer that you leave that, the longer you're dragging things out. And I believe that once you get through and work on all your steps, then you can continue your journey in sobriety. And you can actually use a higher power, which is what it's all based on.
So how do you cope with difficulties sober?
The same as everybody else. Yep. I have to work through them. And I actually have to talk to someone about it sometimes.
Good answer.
And they tell us to do that. They say, if you've got a problem, share it with someone else. Have a talk about it. If you're wrong, admit that you're wrong. And if you weren't wrong, well, actually... It could be the 20-80 rule or whatever they call it, that maybe there is some part of me that was wrong. So I've just got to admit that and talk to someone else and let it go or sort the problem out, and it's actually fine.
How important has service been as a part of your recovery?
Service is really important to me. It's one reason why I'm here today sharing my story, is because this is a way to get the message out to the people in the world that are drinking, that have got problems with alcohol or drugs. And usually it comes part and parcel.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I definitely had a drug problem with marijuana.
Yep.
But I think primarily the alcohol overrode everything.
It was always on the menu.
It was always on the menu, yeah.
So would you like to describe yourself and the life you have today? How do you feel within yourself as a sober man?
My life today, mm-hmm. I feel is... amazing. I think back 12 months ago, I think back 2 years ago, 3, 4, 5 years ago, my life has grown, has got better every year. And I think when I was sober for 6 months or 12 months, life was great at that stage, but I didn't realise in my wildest dreams how good it would be 7 years later. And dreams, hopes, goals come true, and you can work at it. And I truly believe being sober is the catalyst, is really what's done it for me.
Do you have any goals for the future?
I've got amazing goals. I've got so many goals, it's not funny. I don't know where to start. I want to travel. I want to just have good work-life balances. And the goals that we've got, and I say we, my wife and I, we've got are there, and we are working on them. And actually, every year we complete a goal. And I think with goals, you can't have a goal that's unachievable. If you've got a goal, make it achievable so you feel like you're actually getting somewhere. And you absolutely have your long-term goals, but your short-term goals need to be achievable, and it's amazing.
It is. So how have your relationships with friends and family changed now that you're sober for 7 years?
Friends and family. I have a few friends that have hung in there through the years, but a lot of the old friends were drinking buddies, that sort of person. I don't see much, if any, of them. But new friends that come into your life, it's just fantastic. People that don't drink, or if they do drink, they drink normally. And being an alcoholic, I notice what people's drinking habits are. Mm-hmm. And it's not normal, but that's part of me. And it amazes me that there's people out there that can drink normally. And my life is really just incredible. Family and friends, I've got them, and they don't hate me.
That's good. What would you suggest for any listeners that think they may have a drinking problem?
I would suggest that you have a look at the AA website. There's some excellent information online. Have a talk to a counsellor. There's some very good alcohol and drug counsellors out there. I certainly did when I became sober. The first thing I did was I went to an AA meeting. I learnt about alcohol addictions, but I definitely went to an alcohol addiction counsellor who did a question and answer thing, and I was definitely an alcoholic.
Okay.
There was no doubt about it.
So they ask you questions about your drinking, and you've got to tick yes,
yeah, tick
or
yes
no,
or
it's
no.
Not true.
And I was yes, 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 yes.
So, yeah. So did your father get to see you sober?
My father got to see me sober.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So AA is described as a spiritual program. What does spirituality mean to you, and how does spirituality differ from religion?
Oh, that's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
Spirituality differs from a religion. Well, I guess spirituality you can do anywhere, and you can do it. I can do it here right now. It's part of me. My higher power is part of me. Whatever you might want to call it, it is something that we can hand over our problems to, and we can be spiritual absolutely anywhere. I find the most spiritual places are at the beach, or out in the open, or just somewhere where you can feel the wind. Whereas religion, I think we're locked in a little bit to the ideology of religion, but still very, very relevant for a lot of people. So, yeah, it's a good question, Kerry.
What does life lived on a spiritual basis look like?
Life on a spiritual basis. Well, to me, that is knowing that you can hand things over to your higher power, and knowing that you've got your spiritual connections there, and they're there all the time. It's having that strength as part of you, and when you do have a problem, you can pray to your higher power, and you can hand things over, and things get better. It's absolutely, and it says it in the AA book, it's something that's very, very relevant to how life is lived.
What's the best thing that ever happened to you sober?
The best thing that ever happened to me sober, I wake up every morning feeling fantastic.
That's a good thing.
I don't have to worry about what I've done the night before. We went out in the weekend, and I look around and everybody's drinking. I'm actually having a good time too. I'm dancing to the music, and I know I'm going to get up in the morning feeling fantastic, and I did, and it was great, and I remembered every part, everything that happened that night, and that's the best thing that's happened to me in sobriety, and it's continuous, so it's not just one thing, it's all the time.
Awesome. Mark, earlier you mentioned about a glass ceiling. I wasn't quite sure what that meant. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, sure, Kerry. So earlier in my life, I was limited. And I was limited because I was hooked up and taking marijuana. Mm-hmm. And it was what I was focused on. I was focused on the basics in life. I didn't want anything more than just to live through the day, find something to drink, get off my face.
Right.
And I did this for years. And it was just something that, you know, I was never going to move forward in life. I was never going to make anything happen. I was never going to get better at what I do. I was never going to succeed personally or professionally. And so I think as the years have gone by, that glass ceiling's disappeared. And because I can actually move forward in life, I know I can succeed. And life is successful without alcohol and drugs. The scenario of going out, being part of the group of people that are enjoying their lives and they're drinking and I'm not, well, actually, that's okay. I've come to the point where I'm okay with that. And I'm quite okay with pushing forward in life. And how do you explain it? It's just that glass ceiling disappears. Your goals come true. What you think happens. And you've got to be careful that if you're thinking the wrong things are going to happen. And so I think it's the glass ceiling is a mind thing, and getting rid of the alcohol and drugs clears your mind, and it gets clearer and clearer as the time goes on.
So there's no limit. So it's kind of like you're in a rut, just going around in a circle, doing the same things, get up, go there,
that's
think
right.
That, be that, and it was just going to be the same circle over and over again.
Yeah. Where's the next drink coming from?
Now the glass ceiling's gone, there's no limit. You can do things that you couldn't have dreamt of when you were drinking.
Absolutely.
And sky's the limit.
And when you're drinking and taking drugs, you don't want to go any further forward.
You should like darkness and
it
quite
is.
Dark places.
You become happy with what you've got.
Yes.
But actually, there's so much more to get. And there's so much more to get out of life. And we only have one life. We live day by day. And we really, tomorrow's not promised. Tomorrow is, it's there, it will happen, but it's not promised. We live for today, we've got to enjoy what we've got and what we're given. And so that's my take on it. The glass ceiling's gone, the sky's the limit, and look out because here we come.
That's fantastic. Mark, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your story with us. For our listeners, if you're related to anything that you've heard or would like some more information about Alcoholics Anonymous, you can look us up on the web at www.aa.org.nz or call us on 0800 AA Works. There are 66 meetings a week in Canterbury, so there's likely one near you. Join us next week to hear from more AA members sharing their experiences. Our show airs every Monday at 5:30 p.m. on Plains FM and repeats on Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. You can find podcasts of all our past shows on the Plains FM website at plainsfm.org.nz, or you can download and subscribe to our podcasts on iTunes and also Spotify. That brings us to the end of the show. Thank you for listening, and remember, if you want to drink, that's your business, but if you want to stop, we can help. You don't have to do it alone. We will now close the show with a serenity prayer, as we do in every AA meeting, all together. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, And the wisdom to know the difference. The difference. You've been listening to the Alcoholics Anonymous radio show on Plains FM 96.9.